invitation to serve the Lord and everything. You had to be there. Wow, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. Amen. Boy, encouragement. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you please turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Yeah, this morning, I'm going to preach a little bit. We're going to look at verse number 1 and 2. And it's... glad the preacher's here, amen. Glad the preacher's here. And just, amen, just pray from the being, you know, the timing, the Lord, you know, strengthen them in time, amen. Sometimes hard for preachers, they're always on the move and then have to, you know. I heard many times people say the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and so are the stops of a good man ordered by the Lord. And sometimes the Lord has to give you a time of rest and recuperation. So we're praying for the pastor to rest and recuperate, amen, and come back full swing, amen. And Romans chapter number 12 this morning, I want you to look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 1 and 2, Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. I'm sure this is not a topic that you have not heard before. I'm sure you've heard this topic and this text before, but I want to preach a little bit this morning on this. Paul the Apostle, under the inspiration of the Scriptures, of the Spirit, said in verse number 1 of Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning, I want to preach a little bit on the thought of transformation. Transformation. It is God's will for you and I that are saved to be different than we used to be. In fact, one of the songs that we're sang, what was that title of that song this morning? Things Are Different Now. That actually led me to preach this one at this time because I'm praying for the Lord's direction. I have two sermons. And by the way, if this one doesn't work, I'm going to preach the next one right after it. So you got to let me know it's working, all right? No, I'm teasing. I was going to either preach this one tonight and the other one kind of flip-flop. And I was in one of those, Lord, please help me to know your will. And just kind of that song just was like, you know, this is it. And so this morning, I want to preach a little bit on transformation. The simple thought of being of transformation is being changed. Being changed, amen? And so Paul the Apostle in this text, speaking to saved people, encouraged them not to be conformed to the world. You know, the world is what we came out of, amen? The world is what God called us out of. We are called out people, amen? You got the church trying to live like the world, and basically to do that, you got to be in the world. Amen? And so you and I that are saved, we're called upon through these scriptures to be transformed, be totally different than the world. You know, God's music should be different than the world's music. God's songs should be different than the world's songs. Amen? In fact, I believe it's Psalm 137. The psalmist said, how shall we sing the Lord's songs in a strange land? They were in Babylon, and the Babylonians were requiring them to sing about Zion. And they'd, how in the world can we sing the Lord's songs? And that thought of the Lord's songs, there's a unique thing about God's songs. Amen. He giveth songs in the night. He gave a song to Moses and the children of Israel when he delivered them. You know, there's a new song, I think the psalmist said in Psalm 40, if you will. The Lord had delivered him from a horrible pit. And that's not a testimony of somebody getting saved, but by application it could be. But it's really a believer who God delivered from a horrible pit and put a new song in his mouth. And so the songs of the Lord and the songs of the world are two different songs. And God have mercy, because so many Christians and churches are mixing them up to where you can't even tell the difference anymore. Amen? You know, the world's songs get to your flesh. God's songs get to your heart. You know, the ministry of the church is not to entertain the goats, but to edify the sheep. And so you got this church nowadays trying to edify or entertain the goats, and that's all they're getting. And there ain't much sheep there, amen? It's a good thing there's not much sheep there because there ain't no grass, ain't no green grass going out there on the Lord's Day, amen? And if you don't believe me, watch Joe Osteen later and you can see it. But anyway, Romans 12:2 says, be ye transformed. That is the message for you and I. Let me make this statement to begin with. It is God's will for God's people to be different than we were. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And it says, wherein in time past we all had our conversation in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the desires of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith is great love. And so that scripture says, before we got saved, we were dead in trespasses and sins. There wasn't much we could do by way of living the Christian life, being enslaved to sin, if you will. But God reached down into that situation of our life and by the gospel power saved us, and such were some of you. But now you are washed. Now you are clean. You and I are not to be what we used to be. In fact, in Romans chapter number 6, in fact, we're in the book of Romans. Would you turn for a moment, please, to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6. It is God's will for God's people to be different than we used to be. Amen. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. You know, that's what it's all about. Amen. Romans chapter 6, if you would, look at verses 1 to 4. You see, before we got saved, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were stuck in the situation that we were in. We were stuck in being submissive to the mind, the lust of our minds, the lust of our flesh, dominated, if you will, by the devil's influence. That's where we were. The devil had me captive, but Jesus set me free. Amen. In Romans 6, verse number 1, what shall we say then, Paul said? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, verse number 2. How shall we that are dead to sin? You see, in Ephesians, before we got saved, we were dead in trespasses and sin. Now that we're saved, we ought to be dead to sin. Before I was stuck in sin, now I don't have to even submit to it, if you will. Amen. Romans 6:2 goes on, God forbid, how should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Listen, you cannot be sinless as a Christian, but you can sin less as a Christian. We will have our faults and failures, no doubt about it. Listen, sheep fall in the mud. There ain't no doubt about it. But the only thing is, they no longer wallow in it like pigs do. Amen? And so you and I, we will have our faults, we will have our failures, but we don't have to live there no more. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I don't do the things I used to do, and so on. Amen? Look at verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized, or if you will, were put into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We got saved while we were in our sin, but we were raised up. We were resurrected, if you will, and given new life in Christ. Amen. That we no longer have to be enslaved to sin. No more. Amen. It is God's will for God's people to be different than we used to be. But let me make another statement to go a little bit deeper. It is God's will for God's people to be different than what we are. You see, it's God's way. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not content. You understand that? I have a holy covetousness, if you will, a holy desire, if you will, to become more and more what God wants me to be. Some people content themselves in that I'm not as bad as I used to be, and that's wonderful. Thank God for it. Thank God I'm not what I used to be, but I know I'm not everything I ought to be. And so I'm not just going to get delivered from some. Matter of fact, if you understand the Christian experience, when we first get saved, a lot of the big things go. I mean, the drinking, the cursing, the smoking, and all these evident things, they start to go. And then all of a sudden, we get over here, and this is where God now wants to get down to the nitty-gritty. Maybe the sins of the flesh have gone, and now it's time to deal with the sins of the spirit. In fact, there's a scripture that says, but now put off all these also.
anger, malice, wrath, and so on. Amen? And so you and I are really encouraged. If you think you've already arrived, you haven't. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen? In fact, I want you to look with me for a moment. Turn to Philippians chapter number 3, if you would, please. Philippians chapter number 3. Nope. Is it chapter 3? No, chapter 3. We'll try chapter 3. If that don't work, we'll find something else. You like that chapter? Okay, then we're going to do chapter 3. Now, Philippians, that's still in the scriptures here, right? Philippians, I'm going to say chapter 3. Yes, yes. It is God's will for God's people to be different than we are. I'm different than I was, I promise you. But I want to be more different than I am. Some people will look at you and see that you came from where you were to where you are, and they'll be thanking God and so on. But you know what? You know you better than anybody knows you. And you know the things that really need to be worked on in your life. Amen? Just like I do. And I'm praying for God to work on me and work in me and so on. Philippians chapter 3, I want you to look at verse number 12. Paul the Apostle said this, "Not as though I had already attained." I'm not there yet. Are we there yet? No, I'm not there yet. Amen? "Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect." I'm not where I ought to be. Get this. Paul said, "But I follow after." I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not where I ought to be, but I've not quitting, or I've not quit. I've not given up. I'm still trying. I'm still, by the way, the key to triumph is try. We still got to work on it. He goes on to say, "Not as though I had already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend." What is he saying? I'm trying to get a hold of that for which I am apprehended of Christ. Hold on a minute. Watch this now. Paul the Apostle said, Christ got a hold of me. And I'm trying to get a hold of what he got a hold of me for. You see, he got a hold of us to save us and to change us. And Paul the Apostle says, I'm trying to get where God wants me to go. Amen? Look at verse number 13, I believe it is. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul the Apostle said, "I'm not there yet. I'm not everything I ought to be, but I am working toward it. I'm doing what I need to do to get where God wants me to go, to be what God wants me to be." He's still working on me. In fact, in the book of Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 6, Paul said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The day that you got saved, the day that I got saved, I was pretty much a block. And the Lord took this block. Ephesians chapter number 2 says, "Now we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus." He took me from bad works, chapter 2 of Ephesians 1 to 3, and he's put me on his work table, if you will, and he's chiseled away at my life unto good works. He's working on me, and the work he begun, he will finish, amen? He's not giving up, and neither should we, amen? I thank God that I'm not what I used to be, but I know that I'm not everything I should be. I need to be more transformed or more changed than I am, amen? And in this message, I want to talk to you about transformation. I want to talk to you about three things about transformation when we think of it from a scriptural perspective. Number one, transformation involves a power. A power. Transformation. Being changed. Being totally changed involves a power. And what power is that? Well, let me just tell you this. Romans 12:1. When Paul the Apostle wrote Romans 12:1, he addressed it to this: "I beseech you, therefore, brethren." He's not talking to unsaved people. Now, there are some preachers in some churches that are telling unsaved people they need to stop living a certain way and start living for God if God's going to save them. I'm here to tell you, you can't live for God until you are saved. There's no, "I'm going to live for God so he saves me." There's, "He's got to save me so I can live for him." And so the message of "be ye transformed" is not a message to the lost. The message to them is "be ye saved." After salvation, you're plugged in.
You get the power of the Spirit of God. You have the power of the Word of God available to you. Amen. And now, as a saved person, you can be what God wants you to be. You can be what God intended you to be. Amen. You got to be saved first and foremost. Amen. Until a person becomes saved, he doesn't have what it takes to be all God wants him to be. Let me just mention this. I don't want to turn it. I have a lot of scriptures, and I'm trying not to turn to too many because time. Philemon is only one chapter, but verses 10 and 11. Philemon, Paul the apostle, was in jail. A man named Onesimus, who was a runaway slave of a man named Philemon, who was from Colossae. Somehow, someway, in Rome, when Paul was in prison, Onesimus came into contact with Paul the apostle. Now, some speculate that Onesimus had heard about Paul, knew Paul, went to visit him. I lean toward the fact that Onesimus was a thief, must have stole stuff from Philemon, went to Rome, probably was still a thief, usually once a thief, always a thief, but nonetheless, wind up probably getting himself in trouble, maybe even getting arrested. Nonetheless, Paul the apostle led Onesimus to Jesus Christ. Led him to the Lord, and Onesimus got saved. Onesimus was being released from prison, if he was in prison or going back to Philemon. Paul the apostle wrote a message to Philemon. Please forgive Onesimus. Please receive Onesimus. Please receive him as me. And if he owes you anything, put it on my account. I'll take care of it. And he gave it in the hands of Onesimus to take back to Philemon. In verses 10 and 11, he says to Philemon, hey, listen. In time past, Onesimus was unprofitable. You know why he said that? Because the name Onesimus means profitable. But Onesimus couldn't live up to his name until he got saved. He said, in time past, he was unprofitable, but now he's profitable to you and to me. Amen? You see, what happened? What made Onesimus profitable? The fact that he got saved. Because he got saved, now he could live up to his name. Amen? You and I cannot be what we ought to be until we're first and foremost saved. Amen? When a person gets saved, they go from the power of Satan to the power of God. In fact, in Acts chapter 26, verses 17 and 18, God told Paul the apostle, I've delivered you from the Gentiles in order to send you to the Gentiles to open their eyes, to turn them from blindness or from light to, or from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. You see, the ministry of Paul the apostle was to preach the gospel, that these Gentiles would go from being blind to seeing, would go from being dominated by the power of the devil to being set free by the power of God. Amen. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, it says that we were translated from the kingdom of darkness, which is the power of the devil, into the glorious kingdom of God's Son, the Lord Jesus. Translated, changed over. Amen. We cannot live up to our name until we're saved. One of the great illustrations of transformation we find in Scripture is Mark chapter number 5. There was a demon-possessed man who was filled with legions of angels, thousands of demons. And they tried to bind him, the community did. They tried to tame him. They tried to control him. And for the sake of the message, might I say this, they tried to change him. But they couldn't do it. And then Jesus came by. And Jesus ran into that man, and that man ran into Jesus. And there was a confrontation. And the Lord Jesus Christ rebuked the demons, rebuked the devil, sent him into the pig, into the swines, if you will, and just transformed totally that man. That man was unclothed before he got saved. That man was cutting himself and crying and running in the tombs and so on. And then all of a sudden, you find after the Lord Jesus ran into him and he ran into the Lord Jesus, you find him sitting. No longer running. Sitting. You find them clothed. And by the way, let me interject a thought here. When the devil had control, the man had less clothes. When God had control, the man finally got clothed. Amen. Quite amazing how nakedness and shame and demonic activity go hand in hand. But nonetheless, he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. He was clothed. And here's another thought. He was in his right mind. He was transformed. He was totally changed because of salvation.
which is only by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See, when a person gets saved, they go from the power of Satan to the power of God. When a person gets saved, they go from the power of sin to the power of God. We read in Romans chapter 6 some thoughts about that, but in Romans 6:6 and in also Romans 6:12-14, it says that sin no longer has dominion over you. You are now under grace. The grace of God sets us free from being dominated by sin. Amen? And we are encouraged in that chapter to yield our bodies as those that are alive to God and not to sin. In fact, in Titus chapter number 2, verses 11 and on, it talks about the grace of God bringing salvation and teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and so on. In other words, totally transforming us, delivering us from this present evil world. You see, before we got saved, Satan, the world, sin dominated our life. But now, thank God, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit. And you have the power of God to overcome. Amen? When the Holy Spirit of God comes into an individual, those that are saved. In fact, to quote a verse, Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. Jesus said this, and I understand the context has to do with missions. But he said to the disciples, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And the truth of the matter is, by the way, he said, don't try to do it without the Spirit. Matter of fact, tarry in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. Don't try to do God's work without God's Spirit. It ain't going to happen. Amen? But nonetheless, by way of application, we cannot live for the Lord without the Lord. Amen? Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us and washed us by the renewing and regenerating of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the renewer, the regenerator, the one who changes our life. In fact, it's from the inside out. By way of illustration, let me say this. Matter of fact, turn with me, if you will, please, to 1 Samuel chapter number 10. 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Transformation involves a power. You cannot be what God wants you to be without Him. Jesus said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. You got a lot of people trying to spiritually white knuckle it. Without God, trying to muster up all they can to be what God wants them to be, it's not going to work. Because there is a reformation that has to do with outward, but then there's a transformation that has to do with inward. God didn't say reform yourself, change your outsides, if you will. It's a transformation which has to do with the inside, amen? In 1 Samuel chapter number 10, if you will, please. And by the way, I'm not using this text to teach salvation. I'm using this text to illustrate something, just so you understand that. This is not a text that's talking about how to be saved, but this is a text that has something in there that I want you to see and understand how it can apply and make a real big difference. 1 Samuel chapter number 10, when God sent Samuel the prophet to Saul to become the king of Israel, the first king of Israel, I want you to notice what happens, what he said. Look at verse number 6. This is what Samuel said to Saul, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee. Okay, you got that? The Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them. He's telling Saul, you're going to be a prophet like others are prophesying. And look at the next statement, and shalt be what? Turned into another man. I'm not here to debate whether Saul was saved or not. I'm here to say this. He said this, the Spirit of God is what's going to come on you, and the Spirit of God is what's going to make you another man. How in the world can I become somebody I'm not? How can I become another man? And by way of New Testament truth, it's by the Spirit of God only. Amen? Now look at verse number 9, if you would, of the same text. Verse number 9, and it was so. By the way, what Samuel said happens. And it was so that when he turned his back to go from Samuel, God watches now, God gave him what? Another heart. You want to become another man? You got to have another heart. Let me tell you what happens when you get saved. God changes your heart. It's the Spirit of God regenerating the heart of man that makes him another man, that makes him different than he used to be. And that continues to make him different and different and different and different. Amen. It's never ending. But he goes on to say in verse number 9, and it was so when he turned and went, and God gave him another heart, and all the signs came to pass that day, and so on. In the book of Ezekiel, and I'm not going to get into it, but in Ezekiel 11, 19 and 20, and then Ezekiel 36, 24 to 27, God through the prophet Ezekiel told the nation of Israel, one day God is going to save the nation. He's going to take away the stony heart of that nation. He's going to put a heart of flesh in that nation. He's going to cause that nation to have such a heart that they're going to obey the Lord. And that's a great picture. By the way, one day the nation of Israel will be saved. And God will change them to the point their salvation by the Spirit of God will make them obedient to the Word of God. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Transformation involves the power. If you're not saved, you can't be what God wants you to be. But I want to say this. If you're not saved, today you can be. In fact, today you should be. Why? Because today is the day of salvation. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, don't delay. Get saved today. Amen? Now, if you're saved, you're plugged in. You have the power. Here's the second point. I want you to get this if you would. Not only does transformation involve a power, but transformation involves a process. You know, salvation was instant. The moment you got saved, guess what? You were instantly saved. Sanctification is not like that. Transformation is not like that. Amen? Transformation involves a process. A process. Now, I want you to do something. Turn back to Romans 12, if you would, please. Romans chapter 12. Because the very text that Paul the Apostle encouraged these believers to be transformed, that very text, he told them the process. You and I need to make sure we're involved in the transformation process. If you're saved and you want to be changed, you have to do what needs to be done to allow God to do that work of changing your life. Amen? Romans chapter 12, look at verse number 2 again. It says in verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now here it is, right? By the renewing of your mind. There it is. The process of transformation. How can I become more and more what God wants me to be? Renew your mind. Your living and your lifestyle, your action and your reaction is all based on your thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he does. Whatever we're thinking is what we speak, is how we live. And so what God says is, I saved you, and now I want to brainwash you. Now, I hate to use words like that, because then you think of Jim Jones, you think of all these other goofballs. They weren't brainwashed, they were deceived. Hey, I got saved from a dirty world. I need a brainwash. Can I get a witness on that one? Being a changed man is the byproduct of having a changed mind. That's it. Now I want you to look at Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 4. This is the process. We need God's word by God's Spirit to work in our hearts and in our minds. That's what we need. In fact, by the way, that's the purpose of preaching. The purpose of teaching and preaching the word week after week. Paul the Apostle said this, our ministry is not fleshly in 2 Corinthians 10. He said, but it's mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations and things that exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity and to obedience of Christ. When that preacher's up here teaching and preaching, it's a mind battle. It's taking the word of God and saying, here's the truth. And in our minds, if we're working at it, we ought to be, we might be saying, I don't like that. And then the battle begins. Well, hold on a minute. Is it what I think or is it what God thinks that's the most important? And before you know it, you start getting rid of your stinking thinking and you start to allow God's word to dominate your life. When that starts to dominate your life, you're not the same. You're not the same. Amen? Look at Ephesians. Boy, if I stop preaching, I could get to where I'm going.
But look at Ephesians chapter number 4, if you would, please. We have to renew our minds. We need God's word to help us to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5. Philippians, the book of Philippians, some women were quarreling. Wasn't a major issue. Book's a good book. Women were quarreling. It wasn't a unity like there should be. And here's what Paul says. Let the mind of Christ dwell in you. Be in you. Why? You get the mind of Christ, you're not going to be fighting with anybody. He goes on to talk about how he was humble. He was a servant. He was obedient. I get that kind of mind. I'm not going to fight with you. We're going to have that unit, disunity. Amen? That's the whole thing. Look at Ephesians 4. Look at verse number 22. I want you to see this now. Look at 4:22. Watch what it says. Here's what Paul said. That you put off concerning what? The former conversation, the old man. Okay, hold on. Watch this. Like garments, like clothes. By the way, get changed. If you don't get changed after a while, you know what happens? Somebody help me. You stink. You stink. You know what happens when you stink? You start to affect everybody else. Watch what, this is the essence of garments. Get changed. Smell nice. You understand that? But watch this. He says in verse number 22, put off concerning the former conversation, the old lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. You know, when I got saved, I still was, has a sinful nature. Often in the Bible, do you know what God called Peter? Simon Peter. Simon Peter. Simon was his name when he first got saved, which is a resemblance of the old nature. Last week I was preaching and I mentioned when the Lord told Peter about the devil trying to get him, he said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desire to have you. In other words, he's going after your old flesh. That's how he works, your old nature. But most of the times you read about Simon, it's Simon Peter, dual nature. I'm saved, but I still got the old man. And my goal is to keep putting off the old man. Keep putting off the old man. Look at verse number 24 of the same book, Ephesians 4:24. What's it say? And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put off the way you used to be like old garments, and put off the way you ought to be like new garments. Somebody put it this way. Put off the grave clothes. Lazarus, come forth. Get those grave clothes off of him. That's talking about, that's loose living of the holiest kind. Loose him and let him go. Put off the grave clothes and put on the grace clothes. Put off the old man. Put off what you used to be. Put on the new man. Put on what you ought to be. Okay, how is it? How's it going to happen? How do you put off the old, put on the new? What's the verse in between? Look at verse 23. Be renewed. Oh, there's that word renewed. And where at? In the spirit of your... There it is! Put off the old man, put off the old mind. Put on the new mind, put on the new man. That's a process. Guess what? You got to be a part of the process. When you're at home every day, you're not in church every day all day hearing the word. You got to open up this book on your own and get a shower. Now you're clean through my word, which I've spoken unto you. Ephesians chapter number 5, Christ loved the church. A husband loved your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself that he might sanctify and wash it with the watering of the word, water of the word. This book right here needs to be picked up on a daily basis. You and I, day by day, need to get into this book, and this book needs to get in us. Spiritual bathing is what it's called. Amen? Part of the process. I lost 95 pounds. When I first came, Brother Bob said, you're half the man you used to be. I felt like a little child. I lost 95 pounds. I was up to 330 pounds. For all that time, do you know what I had in my house? I had a recumbent bike. You know what a recumbent bike is? It's one of those bikes you sit down on and you just burn calories. I had one in the back room forever. There was one of those times you saw the infomercial. You can just knock those pounds. They just come flying off. I've never seen pounds fly off, that's for sure. And you just, how many people have watched infomercial and just got on the phone and said, I'm getting me one of those because I'm going to start a new life. Start eating healthy now. Buy this Nutribullet or whatever it is. Can I get a witness? I bought the buy the books to tell you how to eat right. I'm going to do it. And I never looked at it. Can I get a witness? My recumbent bike is in the back room. Nothing's going on. And I'm not getting any better. I wasn't in the process. I wanted to lose the weight. I wanted to be a different man. I want to be a healthier man. You understand? I want to live longer. What I needed, beside the bike, and you know, the bike's one thing. I really needed the heart to do it. But what I had was there. It's there. I just ain't got the heart for it. Until I got the heart for it and determined, that's it. I'm done. I'm tired of this. Get out the bike. And you know what I did? I got a little TV with a video player, and I bought an Alexander Scorby. He reads the Bible, and the big pictures come up of the Bible. I could read along and listen along. And so whatever time I'm on the bike, I'm in the Word as well. So it's a double blessing. But nonetheless, until I got into the process, there was no transformation. There was no transformation. I got to get into the book. I got to get into the church. I got to get into the Word because it's got to get into me if there's going to be a transformation. God's Word has the power to change our thinking. There ain't no doubt about that, right? The reason many, many Christians fail to be changed or transformed is because we fail to do our part. And here's one thing I'm very thankful for. I want you to get this. The part that God wants me to do and you to do as Christians is possible. You see, He doesn't tell us to do the impossible. He tells us to do the possible. When we do the possible, by His power, He does the impossible. In John chapter number 2, Jesus went to a wedding in Cana, you remember, Galilee. They ran out of wine, and believe me, it was an alcoholic beverage. I don't think everybody got really well drunk, and all of a sudden Jesus said, boy, they need to be more lit. Let's give them more wine. Yeah, they're going to crash on their way home in the camels or something like that, you know? It was obviously grape juice. They ran out of wine. And you know what happened? Mary, maybe involved in that, said, hey, Jesus, take more wine. And He had a conversation with her. She kind of backed off. And she said, whatever He says, do it. Jesus said this. Listen, there's 6 water pots over here. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to fill those water pots with water. And they filled them with water, and they filled them to the brim. Is that correct? And then all of a sudden, they go to take the water and to deliver it, and it's now wine. That's transformation, folks. Turning water into wine is transformation. Oh, the men, they only did what they were told. Listen to this. Just add water. Just add water. I like sometimes things that you just add water. Just add water. That's all you have to do. God said, this is the water of the Word of God. Add this water to your, by the way, there's 2 symbols of water in the Scripture. Water you drink, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And water that cleans you, which is a symbol of the Bible. You just add the water to your life, and He, by His power, will change the water to wine. He'll take you from what you were to what you ought to be by His power. You do the possible, He'll do the impossible. That's it. That's what our responsibility. Let me tell you something. The devil makes that responsibility a little hard sometimes, doesn't he? That's the truth. Sometimes this Bible can feel like 100 pounds. Amen? But we got to do the possible and let Him do the impossible. I close with this. Transformation involves a power. You got to be saved. It involves a process. If you're saved, get in the process. Get in the process. And then finally, I'll close with this. Transformation involves a promise. A promise. And that promise is this. In 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, which means we're not all going to die. Get this. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's the promise of total transformation. Total transformation. This mortal will put on immortality. This corrupt will put on incorruption. Amen. When He comes, Paul said, our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. That's total transformation. That's the promise we have. And the older you get, the more you look forward to that total transformation. Because as Paul said in 2 Corinthians and in Romans 8, in this we groan, waiting for the redemption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies, like creation is crying out, waiting for the God to redeem it and change it. So our bodies do. And one day, thank God, we will be changed. Amen? No doubt about it. Let me say this in conclusion. The simple message to the sinner is this. If you want to be changed, get in the Lord. Get in the Lord. That's salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Old things become new. You want to be changed as an unsaved person? Get in the Lord. You want to be changed as a saved person? Get into the Word. Get into the Word. 2 Corinthians 3:15 to 18 says that the unsaved heart, especially in reference to the Jewish people, it speaks of, their hearts have veils on them. When they're listening to the word of God, Moses, they don't understand. They don't see Jesus in it. But it says, when their heart turns to the Lord, when a Jew gets saved, the veil is taken away. And then they can see. And by the Spirit of the Lord, they see and are changed from glory to glory. By way of application, when we get saved, our eyes get opened. And when we can see the truth of the Scriptures by the Spirit of God, we are changed from glory to glory. God help us to continue to look into this mirror that it can do that work in changing us more and more. I don't know where you are at today, but the Lord does. My prayer is if you need to be saved, get saved today. If you are saved and you're tired of yourself, you want to be more and more what God wants you to be, get into this book. And ask God, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, if we get this word in our heart, we can be a changed people. As the preacher comes, I'll just close. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for your Spirit today. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in this place that needs to be saved, I pray today would be the day that they accept Christ as their Savior and the day they start to become a new person. And Father, those of us that are saved, we may have been saved a while, and there may be a lot of things out of our life, but Lord, we're still human enough to realize we need your working more and more every day. We're never going to arrive where we need to be, so may we ever be working at being more and more like Jesus Christ and being transformed. In Jesus' name, bless the closing up of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Transformed. It's to be a continuous process, but it takes cooperation. If your head's bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder how many in here this morning say, preacher, I believe I'm making progress in my Christian life. I know I haven't arrived, but I know God's working on me and changing me. Here's my hand as a testimony. Would you hold it up high? I know God's working on me. Put it down. I wonder how many could not raise their hand. I'm talking to saved folks. You say, I know I'm saved, but, you know, I just kind of plateaued in my Christian life. I haven't allowed God to move me any further. I kind of bucked up like an old mule, and this is where I've been, and this is where I am. But I'm tired of being here. I wonder how many who could not raise their hand a minute ago would say, preacher, I am tired of being where I am. I want to make progress in my Christian life. Here's my hand, which holds it up high. Hold it up high. Hands are going up around this room. Hold it up high. I'm tired of being where I am. I want to move. I want to go forward. I don't want to be stagnant. Here's my hand. Here's my hand, preacher. Hands going up all over this room. How about you? How about you? By the way, this don't mean you're backslidden, so to speak. You know, you're deep in sin. Just means you become a little cold, a little indifferent. How many others? Here's my hand, preacher. I wonder if there's somebody in this room today say, preacher, I can't make any progress. I can't be transformed. I've never been saved. I know it and God knows it. If I died right now, I have no assurance that I'd go to heaven. The preacher talked about being saved, and I could know I'm going to heaven when I die, and that Jesus would save me. I'd like somebody this morning to take the Bible, take me to a quiet place, and show me how I can be saved today. Here's my hand. Would you slip it up? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call your name. Preacher, I need to be saved today. Here's my hand. Let's stand together. 485 in our songbook. We're going to sing, you need to come, you just come. You do business with the Lord. He knows where you are. He knows where he wants to take you. He needs you to cooperate. Father, bless the invitation. Thank you for the message. Oh God, might we have a heart to keep moving for you, not to stagnate, not to buck up in rebellion, but just to continue making progress,
yes,
becoming more and more like Jesus every day, having you chip away those rough spots and removing some of those things that are hindrances. God, help us to be truly transformed. Yes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you come today? God spoke to your heart. Will you come? We're going to sing. Will you come?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Will you come today?
Have thine own way.
God speaking to your heart.
I am the clay. Hold me and make me after thy will.
God speaking to your heart.
Search me and try me, Master, today.
Be sensitive.
Quieter than slow, Lord. Watch me just now.
He's speaking to
as
you.
As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Will you come? Sing another verse.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Transform. Moving.
Power of power.
Progress.
Surely is thine. Touch me and heal me. Savior divine.
Bow your heads, close your eyes for just a minute. You know, in our Christian experience, we ought to be able to look back and see progress that we've made. We ought to be able to see some of the changes God has made in our life. If you can't look back and see changes in your life, there's something bad wrong. And then we ought to desire to see even more changes.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I've found is the more you serve, we have too many Christians that contend not to be like them. We're going to sing another verse. Will you come today? God spoke to your heart. Will you come?
Have
Are you saying?